Now, we've talked on this program about the mental challenges, and the changes that come over you, the kind of stress-melting power of nature. Just taking a walk in the park, in green space, measurably changes the body's chemistry to lower things like anxiety and stress. So what about art? Standing before a work of art or creating a work of art, listening to what it says to you, absorbing it, feeling it, might that have an effect too? Sue Ellen Simakowski has an academic degree, but it's one I don't think you've probably heard of before. She's an adjunct associate professor of art therapy. She's, in fact, a registered certified art therapist, among her other credentials, and I think this is going to be a very interesting conversation. Sue Ellen, give us the sort of the baseline understanding of this term, art therapist.
Art therapist.
And art therapy.
And art therapy.
Yeah.
An art therapist is somebody who's trained on a graduate master's level, usually with background in art, perhaps psychology, usually art. And the training consists of internships and the integration of psychology and art, basically working with people, understanding trauma, understanding psychological conditions.
Okay, so that's an interesting field to get into, and I would gather there aren't a lot of people in it.
It's a growing field. It's pretty amazing. Around 20 years ago, there was very few people coming to the field, but now at the Art Institute, we have young people that have heard about this career in high school, and they're already preparing in undergrad college to come to graduate
school.
What
kinds of interest does somebody have who is drawn to a degree like this? You've got an artistic component, certainly.
Usually art, the need to really use your art to connect to the larger stories of culture and help people.
And we think of that, though, as being an intangible. I don't think most people look at art and think in terms of the healing power that it has or power in general that it has. It's a sort of a fleeting moment of entertainment in looking at a piece of art.
I think, you know, if we think about, I don't mean to get too off topic here, but if we think about like the inauguration, every time we have an inauguration.
Of
we
what?
Have
a mayor, a president?
A president. And, yeah. Our national inauguration, we have a poet speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Art reminds us, it connects us with our humanity. Art is so important. Right now, I think it's more important than ever before in the world, and particularly for our veterans to tell their stories.
Yeah, and that's where you do a lot of your work.
Absolutely.
In helping those people who have had traumatic experiences that many of us will never have.
Absolutely.
And helping them recover. We'll talk about how you've helped veterans and how you know that it is making a difference, what you've heard from them, what you've seen in them.
Well, I think that art works to use a creative process and imagination to help people to tell their stories. These stories need to be heard, and these stories need to be seen through movement, through dance, through poetry, through art. And I think one of the things that art does that talking about things doesn't necessarily do in therapy is that it helps people to address the ineffable, intangible, inconceivable moral injury of war. Those things that our veterans have witnessed, participated in, and seen that are really so difficult. There's no words to describe some of the things.
You're talking about moral injury.
Moral injury, yeah.
And how is that an injury to the mind?
It's an injury to the mind in that the mind, neurologically, what can happen is people can kind of get riveted on certain kinds of thinking patterns and behaviors, kind of like if you're traveling an old country road and there's a rutted road, you can't kind of get out of it. Those are the patterns that happen in the brain. So,
But the word moral, I think, is interesting. You're not saying about psychological damage. You're not talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. You're talking about a moral injury.
However, oftentimes there can be an integration of all those components, the physical neurological component, but also the moral component, too, which is the hardest, I think, to really address.
Okay, so does that mean then that you've seen moral values upended to such a degree in battle that you come back to normal, so-called society, and you still are kind of turned over in your own thinking about what is ethical, what is morally right? The appropriate ways that one human treats another. Are those the kinds of moral issues
Absolutely.
You're talking about?
Absolutely. And this is not dinner time talk for a lot of families and a lot of veterans. So art is a really good way to witness this kind of ineffable, intangible complexity.
So is it through the expression of art that they're able to seek and experience a release?
It's through the expression, absolutely. It's getting it out, making sense of it, helping to organize it on paper.
Interpret it in a way?
Reflection and interpretation, making meaning. So part of this moral injury is helping, figuring out how to make meaning of what happened. So the ability to make art, put it outside yourself, and then reflect upon it is what's really important, as well as being able to do it in a cohort, in a group, and share that with other people. The community aspect of this work is really important.
So, Ellen, tell me about actual experiences.
Well, I can give you one example. I had a veteran come in, and just not really pressing them to kind of do anything that was too loaded or too traumatic.
Did you know anything about this person's background?
Other than they were a veteran, and that is it. And they were interested in art. So
had needs.
Absolutely.
There was some psychological
absolutely
issues.
Heard and was interested in art and wanted to learn how to do art. And I was just showing this person how to do work with materials. And all of a sudden, he said, I have this image in my mind. Can I get it out? And I said, yes, of course. And as he did, worked very, very quickly. And it was a scene from Iraq. And somehow, the other veterans in the room, there was no need for any introduction, no need for any...
This is the brotherhood of war. They understood
absolutely
exactly what
absolutely
the guy was talking about.
Absolutely. There was no shame. There was no editing. It just needed to get out. And I think there was an instantaneous understanding about what that might have felt like, what that might have sounded like.
So, Ellen, can you tell us what it was he created, this image that he had in his head?
It was a scene of RPG fire that he had been in for hours on end. And he had lost people in that battle.
Yeah. So he had people under his command.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how did this help him, change him, comfort him? What else?
Paradoxically, when you make art in this way, you can address things that are really very, very difficult. But at the same time, you can experience the pleasure and satisfaction of getting something out and making something. So after he was done, he was satisfied with the work. However raw it might have looked, he felt happy. I think that he can get it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe happy is not the right word. I think maybe relief. And then in that relief, that's kind of beckons veterans to come back to that process once again.
Is that the satisfaction you derive from what you do? Was that a little success story that you've seen replicated numerous times?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that if they can go on to produce something that they feel like they can show their family or their friends, I think there's an instantaneous understanding. Sometimes I've seen family and friends talk about images with veterans, and they're astounded at what the veteran is carrying around.
Yeah. Is this now accepted as a legitimate therapy? Does the military embrace it? Do psychological centers, hospitals, veterans' help facilities, the Veterans Administration? Is this being more and more integrated into these different institutions and cultures?
It's been in the VAs for some time. I think the VA has some ground to cover with it. There's one art therapist at Jesse Brown, one at Hines. In the perfect world, we would have about six art therapists and creative arts therapists working there because the need is so great. The VAs are just so overwhelmed. So it's been used in traditional psych settings. What we're trying to do in the program I'm developing in collaboration with Columbia College and some Albany Park Community Center is to develop a program outside the VA. So no stigma, no diagnosis.
Now the veteran doesn't know that he or she needs art to seek this release, this relief that you're talking about that you've witnessed. They don't make that connection, I'm guessing. They don't know that that's the vehicle that they can use to find comfort and solace.
Many of them don't, but I want to tell you something. Things are changing in the cultural surround of this particular war. Because of the internet, a lot of young veterans from Afghanistan and from the wars in Iraq will be sharing photos, will be sharing videos. So this sharing of information has never happened before in any other war.
And that'll be a catalyst for more veterans to seek this out.
It already is.
I have a question I think maybe our next caller has to bring in, and that is the broader application, how helping children through this kind of method you're talking about might work. Kate, is that right? Is that sort of what you're getting at?
Absolutely. I'm a teacher, and I have used art and actually theater for children to relieve themselves of actually torture at home, frustration at home. And it's my focus is for them to communicate what they can't communicate in words. And so to afford them colors and everything from crayons to watercolors, you know, something so they can communicate what's hurting them, whether it's very, very important or just a little minor hurt or scuffle they had with their brother or sister. It is amazing to see the relief they show. And thank you so much for letting me talk this way. And it has resulted in some of my experience in having to report parents for abuse
Interesting.
And saving the children. And for me, it's not as focused on what they produce, as you're saying, in quotes, make art. Art for me is what comes from your soul rather than apply something to paper or use your hands to form something. So this, to me, is a way of communication between a frustrated, very hurt, damaged person and getting it out and being able to suffer through it so they can handle it in their lives, because they never get rid of it. You have to learn to live with this kind of pain, the deep, deep pain. So anyway, going back to the children, yes, it has served great purpose. Plus, a lot of the kids have opened themselves up so much that they want to go to art school or they want to learn, you know, more theater. So anyway, that's an aspect.
Well, good of you. Kate, I'm glad you shared your background and experience with us. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thanks for
calling.
Thank
you. Okay, thanks.
And you would resonate with that. You would see the value in that, too. And do you work with children yourself, Sue Ellen?
I mostly have worked in the past with adolescents and adults and women. And but I'm working with some children right now. And I think that aside from the soul aspect that the caller just talked about, I think what's really also important is children have a variety of learning styles, oral, all kinds of intelligence, all kinds of intelligences. And oftentimes kids with learning disabilities show their strengths being able to integrate both sides of the brain. So I think art also appeals to different kinds of learners.
So Ellen Simikowski, we had a caller who was too shy to go on, she said, but wanted to see if there was a connection between hospice, later in life care, and art therapy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Art therapy is used in hospice, and I think it's particularly meaningful to the families, because it often is a way to have the last record of somebody's time on earth in a way to process kind of what was good about life and regrets, and if they so choose. But even the smallest painting or smallest written word or smallest recorded voice is very precious to families afterwards. Yeah, absolutely.
Barbara, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm an interior designer, and I wanted to just reiterate what the guest speaker is speaking about and how that does certainly relate to, you know, your feelings as far as coming home to a wonderful environment or your office situation, where that can definitely improve your office skills. Your environment plays a really important role. Color is also very in tune with that as well, and I just wanted to comment on that and you know, say that there are quite a few different opportunities as far as developing your surroundings to make that feel more comfortable for you and make you feel more productive.
Yeah. Thanks, Barbara. I mean, some might say, you know, feng shui is another component of this whole idea that your environment has an energy. And if you get into tune with that, you know, you have a response to it.
Absolutely. The studio setting, when it's well organized and well lit and it's peaceful, it acts somewhat like a sanctuary for protection of whatever needs to be released or enjoyed or laughed about. It can be a whole spectrum of things, but the actual setting is important too.
Deb, you're on WGN. You think therapy like this works?
I know it does. Several years ago, I lived in Florida, and I was in a counseling, group counseling setting, and we did a lot of inner child work, and they did a lot of decoupage and sketching and stuff with your left hand if you're right-handed, and I'll tell you what, it brought out a lot of stuff. It was so therapeutic. To this day, I do decoupage to kind of pull myself together because now I'm dealing with 90-some-year-old parents in the nursing home, so it's triggering a lot of other things that, you know, from the past. But I'm in an adult children of alcoholic slash dysfunctional families group, and I try to encourage people that come that are pretty blocked. I'm not a counselor, but this stuff works. It's just, I suggest they try it, and it's just amazing what it opens up. And I've had a friend from church that does artwork as a form of prayer, and it's pretty amazing what you can pull out of yourself.
Yeah, Deb, that's interesting. Thank you so much for calling, too. And so, well, there is a spiritual component to this, I think, too. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, when we're talking particularly about veterans, it's about helping to create a space where there's peace of mind. And oftentimes when you're in war, you question religion, you question everything. And oftentimes for veterans, if they can just enter into the world of artwork, it's a place where some of those unanswerable questions can at least be addressed. You know, the questions left up to religion and God and pastors when veterans don't necessarily even particularly trust those systems anymore, right?
Yeah, the human institutions.
Absolutely.
But the personal one-on-one connection they have maybe with God can be bridged through their art.
Yeah, witnessing their own truth. Their own authentic
and
truth.
How nice that these institutions are becoming more aware of this and are becoming more embracing. Because I would guess, not too many years ago, that there wouldn't be a broad acceptance of the idea that art is a form of therapy.
Like I said, the field's growing. Yeah, absolutely.
Can we see some of your work? Is there a website you could direct us to or learn about this world of art therapy?
I can direct you to a new program, which is VETCAT, Veterans Creative Arts Therapies Program.
So V-E-T-C-A-T.
Right.
VETCAT.
And they can look it up under Albany Park Community Center.
Is there a VETCAT dot something?
There's a Facebook page, too.
Okay.
If you look under APCC and look under VETCAT, should be under there.
Okay.
They are our fiscal agent right now. It's almost 99% sure, but as of probably December, the National Veterans Art Museum will be moving into collaboration with them.
Where is it?
That's on Portage Park. It's in Portage Park on Milwaukee Avenue. If no one's ever been there, it is a gem. Internationally, it's been recognized, and their website, you can check out their website, National Veterans Art Museum.
Sue Ellen Simikowski, thank you so much, and hats off to you for the good work you're doing.
Thank you so much.